I'm Michael Tu, a partner in ORIX Securities Litigation and Regulatory Enforcement Practice. One of the most unwelcome events for a corporation and its directors and officers is being named as a defendant in a securities class action. Recognizing the potential for frivolous litigation, disruption, and abuse from these shareholder lawsuits, Congress in 1995 put in place heightened pleading requirements that plaintiffs must meet before a case will be allowed to proceed. Among other things, the law, known as the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act, required that plaintiffs must allege particularized facts giving rise to a, quote, strong inference of scienter, unquote, or, in other words, an intent to defraud. Otherwise, the case should be dismissed. However, because Congress did not define exactly what it meant when it said a strong inference of scienter, the term has been interpreted by federal courts across the country in many different ways, with different federal circuits establishing varying pleading standards. On June 21, 2007, the Supreme Court addressed this issue in the Tellabs case, holding that in order to plead the required facts that give rise to a strong inference of fraudulent intent, or scienter, a plaintiff must allege more than what is merely plausible or reasonable. Instead, a plaintiff must allege facts that are cogent and at least compelling as any opposing inference of non-fraudulent intent. In doing so, the court rejected a more lenient requirement, which had been adopted by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, that a plaintiff could meet the pleading requirement by alleging facts from which a reasonable person could infer fraudulent intent. Tellabs was essentially an economic projections case. The company's CEO made optimistic statements about demands for his company's product and anticipated demand for his company's upcoming next-generation product. The plaintiff alleged that in reality, demand for the existing product was poor, and the next-generation product was well behind schedule. Par for the course in this type of case, the plaintiff alleged that the CEO knew his projections were false when he made them. The CEO's position, on the other hand, was that this was just a case of an optimistic but innocent projection that turned out to be wrong when the market declined. So the CEO's intent was central to this case. Within this context, the Supreme Court established a three-step framework for judges to evaluate whether a plaintiff's case meets the required strong inference of fraudulent intent. First, the court must accept all of the plaintiff's factual allegations in the complaint as true. Second, the court must consider the complaint and all of its allegations in their entirety. Third, in determining whether the plaintiff's allegations give rise to the required strong inference of fraudulent intent, the court must take into account all plausible opposing inferences. The Supreme Court held that the Seventh Circuit's approach was too lenient, and that for a complaint to survive a motion to dismiss under the Reform Act, it was not enough that a reasonable person could infer that the defendant had the necessary fraudulent intent. Instead, the complaint had to state facts sufficient that a reasonable person would consider an inference of fraudulent intent at least as compelling as any competing inference one might draw from the stated facts. The inference, however, need not be irrefutable or even the most plausible of competing inferences. Of course, this necessarily implies considering all of the competing inferences, not just those put forward by the plaintiff. One interesting fact is that the SEC filed a brief in this case that argued the Seventh Circuit's approach was too similar to the pre-Reform Act standard and therefore was too lenient, because one of the central purposes of the Reform Act was to heighten the pleading standard. The plaintiff's bar was not happy to see the SEC take this position, but the legislative history is clear that Congress intended to do something much stricter than the approach which was taken by the Seventh Circuit. Another noteworthy aspect of this holding is that the Supreme Court rejected the suggestion by the Seventh Circuit, which was an argument that was commonly raised by plaintiffs in these types of cases, that the court's determination of competing inferences on a motion to dismiss usurped the jury's role and therefore violated the Seventh Amendment. The Supreme Court said, "A court's comparative assessment of plausible inferences, while constantly assuming the plaintiff's allegations to be true, we think it plain, does not impinge the Seventh Amendment right to a jury trial." One other interesting point about the case is what the court did not decide. There's been a split among the federal circuits for some time as to the degree of recklessness that is sufficient to plead fraudulent intent. The court acknowledged in the decision that split in a footnote, but left its resolution to a future case. Whether Talabs is good news, bad news, or indifferent news for a defendant will vary by circuit. You're better off in the Seventh Circuit, which includes Chicago, as the court took the Seventh Circuit's very lenient approach and replaced it with something more strict. Same thing for the Second Circuit, which includes New York, which previously applied a more lenient standard requiring that plaintiff only need to plead that a defendant had the motive and opportunity to commit fraud. However, it likely will have much less effect in the Ninth Circuit, which covers most of the West Coast, including California, which was already using an approach similar to that in Talabs. The decision is not a clear, unequivocal success for defendants. We've also already seen plaintiffs take language from Talabs about drawing inferences from the complaint as a whole and try to use that language to blunt the Reform Act's requirement to plead with particularity. We've also seen plaintiffs describing the result of Talabs as, quote, a tie that goes to the plaintiff. In other words, where a complaint gives rise to equally compelling inferences of intent, both fraudulent and non-fraudulent, there's language in the majority opinion that suggests this will be sufficient to survive a motion to dismiss. The bottom line is that although Talabs sets forth a cogent and compelling standard for alleging the required strong inference of fraudulent intent, it still does not provide federal courts with clear and concrete guidance as to what specific allegations will get the plaintiffs there. Accordingly, securities class actions will continue to be determined largely on a case-by-case basis, and differences among the federal circuits across the country in applying the cogent and compelling standard of Talabs are likely to appear.